Papers, seven.
Okay.
Fauci?
Yes. Agenda paper seven covers three IFRS 5 related to the agenda decisions. For two issues, those covering agenda paper 7A and 7C, we are proposing to finalize the tentative agenda decisions, while we are suggesting a change to a proposal, to an original proposal relating to the other issue, the presentation issue covering agenda paper 7B. Let me explain each issue in more detail, starting from agenda paper 7A, the issue relating to the allocation of impairment within a disposal group.
Aye, Forrest.
Has left the conference.
The issue in agenda paper 7A relates to whether an impairment loss recognized for a disposal group can be allocated to non-current assets to the extent that the allocation reduces the current amount of such non-current assets below their fair value less cost to sell. The discussion of this issue by the Interpretations Committee was limited to a situation where the impairment loss does not exceed the carrying amount of the non-current assets. The Interpretations Committee discussed this issue in May and September last year and tentatively concluded that there was sufficient guidance on this issue. Consequently, it decided not to add this issue onto its agenda. We received four comment letters, including one comment from the staff of the IASB. Three respondents agreed with the conclusion in the tentative agenda decision. Two of them suggested including a discussion of a unit of account to strengthen the rationale behind the conclusion. In contrast, one respondent did not agree with the tentative agenda decision because it thought there was no sufficient guidance in the standards. Two respondents also commented on the appropriateness of separating this issue from other IFRS 5 issues. One of them commented that the other two measurement issues could also be addressed together with this one, while the other disagreed with concluding on some issues while putting others on hold. Now, with respect to a suggestion relating to including a discussion of a unit of account, we hold a view that the unit of account for this issue is the disposal group as a whole, instead of individual assets and liabilities from the disposal group. However, we decided not to include such a discussion in the tentative agenda decision because it might risk appearing to prejudge the approach to the other two measurement issues on which the Interpretations Committee did not reach consensus. And such a discussion would not be necessary to justify the conclusion for this issue. And we still hold this view because this particular issue is limited to the measurement of non-current assets that are within the scope of the measurement requirements of IFRS 5. Consequently, we do not think that a discussion of the unit of account should be added. And with respect to the other point raised by respondents, we still think that this issue should be considered separately from other IFRS 5 issues because the issue is narrow and an agenda decision would provide a clarification which we think would contribute to reduction in diversity practice. On the basis of analysis, we recommend that the Interpretations Committee should finalize the tentative agenda decision with editorial changes to the original wording. The questions to the Interpretations Committee are, do you agree with the staff recommendation that it should finalize its decision not to add this issue onto its agenda? And if you do, do you agree with the wording of the final agenda decision in Appendix A of this paper?
Tony?
Yeah, I agree with the staff's analysis, and I'm comfortable with the words. I understand the logic for making the comment that a couple of respondents have about the unit of account, and I actually agree that the unit of account is the disposal group, but that is not a conclusion that the committee reached, and therefore I think it makes sense to support the conclusion with the references that are in here, because I think it gets there and it avoids prejudging the issue on which the committee couldn't reach agreement previously. So yes, I'm comfortable with it, and I'm comfortable with the words.
Yeah. Reinhardt?
My comments are identical to Tony's for the reasons he's outlined.
Okay, Carl?
Yes, I share the German's committee concerns, and I would not be troubled in packing this issue with the others in the agenda decision 7, as was made in the agenda decision 7B.
Okay, Bonnie?
I agree with the agenda decision and the language, so I have no further comments.
Yongsu?
Yeah, I also agree with the staff, especially for the unit of account, we don't have to mention it. I think that if we mention it, it could, you know, cause some kind of unnecessary discussions, such as why we should allocate group impairment loss to the individual assets and stuff like that, which we did not get the conclusion in the last meeting. So I 100% agree with this conclusion.
Okay. Fei Long? Fei Long, we're not receiving. Okay, Bruce?
And, I feel I have to reiterate the comments I made when we discussed this. I don't agree with this decision. For the reasons very simply, as I've said previously, I think 105 is clearly referenced as application of 104. I just don't see in my mind how we get out of it. So I don't agree with it.
Okay, so you're a no. John?
I agree with the staff recommendation, and I agree with the wording.
Sandy?
I would second that. I agree with the conclusion.
Okay. Charlotte?
I agree with the agenda decision.
Martin? And Bob?
I'm supportive of the agenda decision. I think it would be stronger with a unit of account discussion, but I don't think it's required. So the wording, I got some edits, which are small edits I'll pass along.
Okay, fine. Andrew?
I agree with the agenda decision on the unit of accounts. I agree with us. We don't need to go there to reach this conclusion, and I think if we do comment on that, we are risking prejudging the issue where the impairment loss exceeds the non-current assets within IFRS 5 scope, and I agree we should move forward with issue clarification where we can and not necessarily hold this one back, because there are other issues in IFRS 5 that will take longer to resolve.
Okay, we've got one clearly opposed, one absent, and one who believes it should be passed to the board, so we will go ahead with the agenda decision. Okay, Takashi, you're on a roll.
Okay, so the next one, agenda paper 7B, this covers the issue relating to how to present intergroup transactions between continuing and discontinued operations on the face of the income statement. The Interpretations Committee discussed this issue in May and September last year and attentively concluded that there was sufficient guidance on this issue. Therefore, it decided not to add the issue onto its agenda. We received 11 comment letters, including a comment letter we shared with you last week. Three respondents agreed with the technical analysis of the issue. However, they thought that either the conclusion did not seem to be consistent with the objective of IFRS 5 or the V1 presentation, which requires full elimination of transactions with no adjustments in attribution of elimination entries, may not provide relevant information. Main messages from other respondents were similar to what I just explained. They thought depending on facts and circumstances, the V1 information would not be consistent with the IFRS 5 objective, and as such, it might not be useful. They also thought that it would not be appropriate to just close the issue through an agenda decision. Instead, they suggested that the issue should be considered as part of a possible comprehensive review of IFRS 5. Moreover, a few respondents were concerned that the tentative agenda decision was too restrictive to allow presentation other than in accordance with B1. In particular, they were concerned about the sentence in the tentative agenda decision saying that intergroup sales and purchases have to be eliminated against internal selling party and internal purchasing party, respectively. This is because this sentence effectively precludes an entity from presenting information in any other way than in accordance with B1. They think that it goes beyond clarifying the requirements of IFRS 5, given IFRS 10 is silent on how to treat elimination entries within a group. In reaching the tentative conclusion, the Interpretations Committee noted that IFRS 10 requires elimination of intergroup transactions rather than just intergroup profit. It also noted that when there are intergroup transactions, it would be the internal selling party that has intergroup sales, and it would be the internal purchasing party that has intergroup purchases. Consequently, elimination of transactions has to be attributed to the respective internal parties. We still think that the Interpretations Committee reasoning behind its tentative agenda decision is sound. However, we acknowledge the concern that keeping the sentence included in paragraph 18 of this agenda paper goes beyond clarifying the requirements of IFRS 10 and IFRS 5 and IFRS 10. Consequently, we recommend that a final agenda decision, if separately published on this issue, should remove the sentence that effectively imposes only B1. With respect to whether the Interpretations Committee should publish a separate agenda decision on this issue, we now think that this issue should not be pursued through an agenda decision. This is because we think that an agenda decision that reflects our recommendation earlier to remove the particular sentence would not be as useful as we originally intended, because diversity in practice would be likely to continue after the publication of such an agenda decision. If the Interpretations Committee agrees with the suggestion not to pursue the issue through an agenda decision, we recommend that the Interpretations Committee should not add this issue onto its agenda. Instead, we recommend that this issue should be transferred to the other agenda decision that covers various IFRS 5 issues. That is the agenda decision covered in Agenda Paper 7C. This is because, with respect to IFRS 5 issues, the Interpretations Committee decided that it would deal with, in the short term, only those issues for which the Interpretations Committee thought that there were clear guidance on and a general decision would be useful. On the basis of analysis, we recommend that the Interpretations Committee should transfer this issue to the other agenda decision that is covered in Agenda Paper 7C instead of separately finalizing the tentative agenda decision. Do you agree with this staff recommendation?
The staff recommendation is that we put this in the basket with all the rest of them that we've handed to the board.
Yes.
And if I guess that leaves open the question, if the board decides not to pick up that basket, whether or not we bring some of these back. Oh, that's yet to be determined.
Yes.
Okay. Tony.
So I guess I wonder if we can be a bit more helpful and whether just including this in the basket of issues that's going up to the board will just defer providing some help and maybe eliminating some, if not all, of the diversity in practice. I know that the staff commented in the paper that the standard does require you to eliminate entries against the entities that generated the transactions. I'm not sure it's that explicit. I think the standard just requires you to eliminate, and therefore I think there's an element of judgment in terms of how you eliminate. Where there isn't judgment is that you have to eliminate. And one of the options that was given in the paper that was submitted in going back to the first couple of times that we talked about this was one of the options was not to eliminate. And I'm concerned that just pushing this into the basket that goes up to the board will allow folks to continue with the perspective that it might be acceptable not to eliminate. And so I guess I'd be inclined to wonder whether we couldn't finalise an agenda decision on the basis that, yes, you have to eliminate, but that the standard doesn't tell you how to do it, which would reflect the staff recommendation to go ahead with the agenda decision without the sentence that was referenced. So I guess I would probably prefer to go down that route and provide something that's useful to our constituents rather than defer another question to a project that may or may not happen depending on where the board gets to with the agenda consultation.
So you would prefer an agenda decision that says, yeah, we're not sure about one and two, but we're sure that three is wrong. Okay. That was proposed yesterday internally too. So. Reinhardt.
I guess consistent with the comments I made at the previous meetings, in particular the September meeting, I disagree that view one was the or is the only way to read IFRS 5, and so I think view one and two are potential alternatives. Having said that, if the our objective is to provide helpful guidance that reduces diversity, I would tend to agree with the staff that saying something along those lines will still create diversity because those are quite different perspectives in terms of how to present continuing versus discontinued operations. And so although it may eliminate some diversity by you know precluding view three, I'm not sure it's all that useful overall. So on balance, I would support the staff recommendation of not issuing an agenda decision and putting it in the IFRS 5 hopper to see if the board deals with it. If not, this may be one we could take back on the agenda.
Okay. Carl?
I fully agree with staff's recommendation.
Bonnie?
I struggled with this one a little bit because I think my view is along the lines of view one where you need to eliminate all of the transactions in a consolidated set of financial statements. However, I do understand some of the points of the comment letters that came back requesting or providing some additional thoughts on does that really provide the most relevant information in a set of financial statements between discontinuing and continuing operations. So I do agree with the staff's recommendation because I think if we were to make an agenda decision that says either view one or view two is acceptable, to me that creates diversity in practice, not reduces. And I'm not sure that's any more helpful than including it in the basket of IFRS 5 issues that we'd like the IASB to potentially take on as a broader agenda item. So I do agree with the staff conclusion.
Okay. Mikhail?
Yes, I'm happy to see that the staff then have reconsidered and that we should put this in the basket for future IFRS 5 issues. And as I said last time, I think this proposal that we did was not very, very good and led to irrelevant information. And as Tony said here, it's for me clear that the elimination should take place between entities or units and not against entities or units, and by that you come to another conclusion. But I fully support the staff proposal.
Okay. Young Soo?
Oh, yeah, I also agree with the staff conclusion. You know, I also mentioned this in the last meeting that full elimination is very simple and objective and also consistent with IFRS 10, but does not give us enough or useful information or consistent with the objective of the IFRS 5. So I support the staff conclusion. And also, you know, I'm not sure whether we eliminate view three, do not eliminate the intergroup transaction and including the agenda decision, because we are not going to know what's going to be the output of the board. So that what I want, what I'm saying is that we can just put it in the basket and forward it to the board and let the board decide it. So I fully support the staff conclusion.
Okay. Hey, Long?
I agree that the only view one conclusion is to restrict, and agree with the staff proposal to remove the wording in paragraph 18. But I do not agree with the staff view in paragraph 20B. And I think which is it only to eliminate it against the profit being the only perspective. This could be one perspective. Another perspective is discussing view two. And I just thinking, should we keep this into long-term project? So much work already been done. And in fact, the wording is still very useful because we eliminate view three.
Okay, you know, you're in the same camp as Tony.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Okay. Bruce?
Thanks. I'm very supportive of the staff's recommendation. I know in our jurisdiction, a number of the companies I deal with had had very varying views in terms of this, and a couple of them who were actually quite unhappy with the view one. So I'd suggest we definitely send it back. However, I would caveat that with, if the board doesn't take it on, I strongly think we do need to take it on.
Okay, John?
John? Hi, I'm not in favor of the staff recommendation. I think we should finalize the agenda decision with modification to the wording to remove the guidance about how you do the elimination, but I think it would be helpful to issue an agenda decision that clarifies that elimination is required, and leave how those eliminating entries are attributed between continuing and discontinued operations to the judgment of the preparer. So, but I do think an agenda decision that clarified that elimination was required would be helpful guidance.
Okay, Sandy.
Okay.
Sandy, are you there?
Yeah, sorry, it took me a second. I am supportive of the agenda decision. I was in the camp with Mikhail in, I guess it was May or September when we first talked about this, about the fact that I didn't think the information was that produced by the conclusion was relevant. So I agree with the agenda decision.
Charlotte?
The staff conclusion, I should say.
Hang on a minute so I can get your microphone turned on.
I'm in the same camp as Tony. I think it's better to widen the agenda decision slightly, but to finalize it.
So you would say the agenda decision should...
But you must eliminate, doesn't explain why.
Preclude alternative three, but yeah. Leave one and two in place. Yeah. Philippe, I'll get to you at the end. Martin?
I still believe that the one is quite common. However, on the other hand, I consider how useful this information down to presentation. I'm not sure about my feelings, so I would not object the staff drafting. However, on the other hand, I would also support Tony's view. Coming up with something saying, hey, you have to eliminate, however, no elimination, this is not possible.
Okay. Bob?
Similar.
Can we hang on? Can you stop for just a minute, Bob? We've got too many people on the line. If you're not speaking, please set your phone on mute because we're getting a lot of interference. Bob, please go ahead.
Okay. I agree with the staff recommendation for this issue to the basket of IFRS 5 issues, but only with respect to how to eliminate and whether there's adjustments with the elimination. I think we should be taking off the table in that agenda decision the option, or make it clear that the option to do not eliminate is not appropriate.
Okay. Andrew. There we go.
Okay. I don't support the staff recommendation. I'd be in the camp with certain others saying we should provide what guidance we can right now. And if there is then a need for some more detailed guidance to supplement that, that could be considered in the basket of longer term issues. But I think it is possible to say something useful right now. I do feel that I know the question was phrased in terms of whether and how you should record eliminations, and we can answer the question in those terms and try to select among three alternative views. I think in coming at the question in that way, we've gone rather down a blind alley. I would like to put a reverse out of that blind alley. I fully agree that IFRS 5 does not override IFRS 10, and IFRS 10 discusses eliminations in the context of consolidated results, not in the context of disaggregating those consolidated results. And what we're required to do with a discontinued operation is an allocation or a disaggregation of the consolidated revenue and profits. And I think we can be clear on that and say that it's a disaggregation of the consolidated result, and go on to say that there is no explicit guidance on exactly how to do that disaggregation. In the absence of explicit guidance, then preparers should look to the principle in paragraph 30 of IFRS 5 to do so in the way that makes or provides the most useful information, which is kind of similar to the approach we took, I think, with an IFRS 12 issue a few months back, where we're presenting the results of subsidiaries with non-controlling interests, disaggregated or more aggregated basis, and we just looked to the overall principle on how to do that, and that was fine in that context. I think that's going to be helpful and will certainly not increase diversity and may reduce it somewhat in this context as well.
Philippe?
Can I take the phone, this one, Wayne? Marie speaking.
Excuse me, who was that? I'm sorry.
It's Marie.
Marie, I apologize for not calling on you before. Marie, please go ahead.
Okay. On this one, we consider that IFRS 10 is clear on the fact that you should eliminate the intercompany. So for us, at least view 3 is not possible, and we tend to consider that view 1 is the view of the of IFRS 10 because it talks about transaction and not profit. We agree that it might give rise to some not relevant information in some cases and that you need disclosure. And we really think that it should not be sent back to the ISD without saying anything, because we fear that if you do that, it will increase diversity, because it will mean that IFRS 10 is not clear at all and that you can, for example, not eliminate at all. And even if the ISD do take that to its agenda, it might take quite a while before we have an answer. So I think I tend to support Andrew saying that things can be said, and that if nothing is said, diversity will increase, which I think it's not a good thing.
Okay, thank you. And I apologize to the observers for not calling on you explicitly in the past. Other observers first before I turn to Philippe. Any particular views on this? Okay, Philippe?
Yeah, I wanted to follow up on Andrew's comments. Seems to me we have three questions. First one, whether to eliminate or not. Second, how much should be eliminated. And third, how to present the result of those eliminations. Right? Seems to me view two is not very clear to me, and maybe you could refresh my memory. What was the meaning of view two making adjustments in the elimination? Does that mean you eliminate something else than the full amount of the intra-group transaction, or is it just about the allocation? Seems to me the committee could usefully answer the first two questions. Whether to eliminate, the answer probably there is consensus, yes. IFRS 10 is not overridden by IFRS 5. Second question, what is the amount to be eliminated? The actual amount of the intra-group transaction under IFRS 10 seems to me, I see no reason, I did not hear anyone supporting any other view than you eliminate what really you have got in the books. And then the first question, which could be left open, once you have eliminated, do you present the outcome in your segment reporting or in the presentation of the notes to IFRS 5 in a way which is useful to users? And I think this is where we have no guidance, and maybe could be left open and for the board to consider at some point in the future, which probably is not the near future. I would say, following up on Marie's comments, it's, I see little likely that the board could help very soon in that area, but because the PIR on IFRS 5, if any, is going to start in some time. And
Gary, did you want to come in on this?
Yeah, sure. I agree with the thing of we should at least eliminate view three, and from which I think the majority of the committee had said. Personally, I happen to be in the view two camp to the extent that post-divestiture that there's going to be continuing transactions. I think when you go to divestiture or M&A transactions, the role of what business you're going to is the seller going to continue doing for the divestee or vice versa is central. So what's the main purpose of discontinued operations accounting? I think it's to show the continuing group going forward. The continuing group is going to either have expenses or revenue, depending on which way with the group it's divesting. I think that's relevant. And I think if you think of IFRS 8, I mean, in your segments, you can show them gross to the intercompany. Then you have an elimination someplace in another column. I mean, this is more akin to segment accounting. Segments got operating segments, here you got continuing segments. I actually support view two to the extent that intergroup transactions are material and will continue post-divestiture. Now, appreciate maybe that's going one step too far than this committee can do. I know Andrew's comment on IFRS 10. That's consolidated statements. These are effectively disaggregated. But again, it might be too far at this point. But maybe it goes in the basket, but I would certainly think it's very relevant, and I would certainly minimum support eliminating view three.
Philippe?
Well, I think there might be some diversity in views of the board members.
That's mine.
I agree there is usefulness. There is usefulness in presenting what will be continuing as sales of the entity after the disposal. I believe this is pro forma information. I'm not against the usefulness of information, but it isn't as if kind of presentation, it is not the actual for the period. So the best way to achieve the objective of providing useful information, there are different ways to do it. Pro forma information is one, notes is another one. Not adjusting for the full amount of the actual transactions in the period, don't see that as being permitted under IFRS 10 on the concept of eliminations.
Well, what would stop you then if you have, you know, continuing segment, sort of the number shown, expenses and revenue shown growth, the discontinued segment, the same revenue and expenses shown gross, and then literally a third column, eliminations. It's sort of in artful presentation that face the P&L, but it would basically be taking segment accounting approach and showing it.
IFRS 8 permits to do through the eyes of management, yeah. And I think that's very useful. But I think at the consolidated level, that should disappear because it's intra-group.
Right, but in that argument, I'd say you've got a gross, and then you've got it net. You've got net revenue, net expenses. You've eliminated them. You know,
which
just
is the point
showing
of giving this to the board rather than the interpretations committee.
Yeah, that's why I think view one and two got their places. Yeah, and I just don't think view three does.
Well, and that comes to the point of which I call the question. I have seven people who explicitly said they'd like an agenda decision saying not view three. The others I didn't see anyone who objected to the handoff to the board. So I'm going to try an experiment now with our virtual format. Is there anyone who would object to an agenda decision? It'll have to be given to you offline, the wording that says not view three. View one and two we're handing to the board. We don't think view three is justified at all. Is there anyone who would object to that? Sandy, you'd object to that.
I believe, I do, because I think the central question is, what are eliminations? And moving from continued to discontinued operations doesn't present consolidated in the same way. So to me, the more useful information is in view three.
All right, so we got one supporter.
To go to Philippe's point, he made a point about whether this is pro forma information. It is not pro forma information. Because that would say you're not going to have this other transaction, but it's historical information presented differently, which is not pro forma information.
All right, so Sandy is a no. Is there anyone else who would object to an agenda decision that said view one and two, three we're giving to the board, or view one and view two, excuse me, we're giving to the board, view three we do not believe is acceptable?
Maybe not surprisingly, but I would as well object to that. That is.
Mikhail, I thought you were a view two person.
No, I think we've always, he and I have both been view three. But, you know, part of the problem is the original paper, which I just sat and went back to, doesn't show the third column, or which is the eliminations in view one, view two, and view three, where you can actually see mechanically what needs to be done. It's sort of pushed into the other columns, which is Mikhail's problem. You don't book eliminations in the legal entity, okay? And so you can't do some of what these propose.
Okay.
It's a consolidating system. So to me, you need to go through view one, view two, view three, and show actually how the journal entries are going to be made. And are you going to take the elimination away, or are you not? Because I think that would illustrate the point of what's the purpose of an elimination. Because now the results aren't consolidated. You're not adding them together in the revenue and expense column. You're moving them down. And that is the operations. You can add a footnote which explains that those revenue and sales may go away. That is a pro forma articulation, or an attempt to make a pro forma articulation, in my view.
Well, I also object to eliminating the alternative three, the view three. I think that we haven't given a deep thought about that option at all. Eliminating view three is going to be pretty much premature, I think. That's why, you know, I object to that option.
Okay.
I object as well.
Carl, your object would object as well to that?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I didn't get that. Carl would object to what?
Carl would object to an agenda, same thing you're objecting to.
Okay, I just want to make this clear. What we, if we had consistent objections, are we objecting to everything?
All right, anybody else? All right, that then, in my twisted way of counting, gives me three dissenters, right?
I thought Jung-Soo did as well.
Jung-Soo dissented, all right, so it's 10-4?
10-4.
All right. You'll see the wording when it goes to update. But in my simple-minded way, views 1 and 2 go to the board. View 3, which we'll need to be careful of describing, because I'm not sure that it's as clearly delineated as I've made it sound. View three is off the table. Okay.
So who are those people who are objecting to the removal of view three? Are they people who are preparers?
Excuse me?
I mean, are they, are, you said, I guess, I'm asking who are all the objectors? I didn't catch it.
I count Carl, Mikkel, Yong-Soo, and you.
Okay.
So I got an academic, a preparer, an analyst.
Who's booked journal entry?
Two preparers, an academic, and an analyst. So the analyst rarely falls in the same group as the preparers in the standard setting.
But I have been, and I guess my problem is what the point I'm trying to highlight is that when you actually book the entry, you see it maybe slightly differently, is my point.
Okay, point taken. All right, Takashi, you didn't go so well on that. Let's go to 7C.
Okay, so the last one, agenda paper 7C, relates to an agenda decision that covers a number of IFRS 5 issues that the Interpretations Committee thought should be considered through a potential conference review of IFRS 5. In September last year, the Interpretations Committee decided to pursue a separate agenda decision on these issues, partly because it thought such an agenda decision would be useful in a way that it would acknowledge that these issues remain unresolved, but that the Interpretations Committee would no longer discuss these issues in the short term, or unless and until there is a request to do so by the ISB. We received 5 comment letters. Agenda Paper 7C says 4, but in addition to the respondents listed in paragraph A, ESMA also commented on this issue, which we did consider in analyzing the issue. One respondent agreed with the tentative agenda decision for the reasons provided in the tentative agenda decision. Two respondents commented on the selection of issues that should be covered by the agenda decision, which we discussed for the previous issues. Another respondent supports the committee's decision not to address these issues in the short term, but it questions whether an agenda decision would be a right tool to communicate such a decision. It thinks that it is not appropriate for an agenda decision to complete these issues that are just being parked, waiting for the outcome of a related project. Consequently, it recommends that the Interpretations Committee should just meet the decision to defer any further discussion of the IFRS 5 issues for the interim instead of finalizing the tentative agenda decision. And ESMA suggests that the Interpretations Committee recommends the ISB to undertake a comprehensive review of IFRS 5. With respect to the comments on the selection of the issues, as we discussed for the issues in Agenda Papers 7A and 7B, we recommend that the Interpretations Committee should not change the selection of the issues. And with respect to the means to communicate the committee's decision, we recommend that the Interpretations Committee should finalize the tentative agenda decision now. This is because we do not expect that there will be a significant difference between finalizing the tentative agenda decision now and sometime later after the ISB considers the feedback on the request for views on the 2015 agenda consultation. We hold this view because we think that these issues are too broad for the Interpretations Committee to consider in the short term. The Interpretations Committee has already referred these issues to the ISB, and it would be the ISB and not the Interpretations Committee that would make a decision on whether or not to create a new research project on IFRS 5. In other words, we think that the Interpretations Committee would not resume discussing these issues unless and until there is a request to do so by the ISB. Consequently, we recommend that the Interpretations Committee should finalize the tentative agenda decision now instead of waiting for the completion of the 2015 agenda consultation. With respect to the wording, as the IISB suggests, we think that it can be improved by explaining why the issues have been raised and why the Interpretations Committee will not continue to consider these issues in the short term. On the basis of analysis, we recommend that the Interpretations Committee should finalize the tentative agenda decision, which reflects an explanation of why these issues have been raised and an acknowledgement that these issues are too broad for the Interpretations Committee to consider. The questions of the Interpretations Committee are, do you agree with the staff recommendation that it should finalize its decision not to add these issues onto its agenda? And if you do, do you agree with the wording of the tentative agenda decision?
Okay, so make sure I understand two things. Number one, G would have to be reworked.
Yes.
But otherwise, this is the inventory of the basket. This is the stuff that we have asked the board to do something with. Given that, Tony?
Yeah, I'm comfortable with where the staff's got to. I think it's consistent with the decisions that we have taken. I think it's the right thing to do to deal with it through an agenda decision, so we've addressed due process, and then if the board tells us we've got to go and do some more work, then we can pick it up at that stage. I wondered about the sentence that's gone into the first paragraph. I guess I'd probably just focus on areas where there is diversity in practice rather than sort of speculating about the future or saying
has left the conference.
That's it. So I'd probably just focus, rather than talking about it not being clear or what might happen in the future, just focus on, yes, there is existing diversity, but otherwise I'm comfortable with it.
Okay. Reinhardt?
I also agree with the staff analysis and also with the agenda decision. And similar to Tony, I had a couple of small editorial suggestions which I sent through to the staff.
Carl?
I'm comfortable as well. No further comments.
Bonnie?
I'm okay, subject to the changes in G that you noted.
Mikhail?
I agree as well with this soft recommendation.
Yong-Soo?
Yeah, I also agree with the staff conclusion. I think that even if the board decides not to discuss these issues, we already determined that these issues are too broad for us. So that I believe the board will discuss about these issues and we can just finalize this issue.
Okay. Fei Long?
I'm okay, also subject to the changes for G.
Bruce?
Yeah, I'm supportive of this. I think we have to issue an agenda decision to explain why we aren't taking them on, so I'd support it with the changes that have been proposed.
John?
Yeah, I'm supportive of the agenda decision. My only concern is whether that closes the door if the board does not take these issues on. I mean, we're forming a conclusion that they're too broad for us to deal with. My view before we refer these to the board was that there were some of these I felt we should have been able to deal with. I suppose my question is whether we are closing the door on these by forming a conclusion that they're too broad for the committee to deal with.
Okay. Sandy?
Sandy?
Yeah, I agree with the staff conclusion.
Charlotte? I'll find a button over there somewhere. Oh, I'm on the wrong side of the table. Excuse me.
I support the agenda decision.
Martin?
I also agree with the agenda decision. I would delete the first sentence, which is included, because I guess it is obvious to each and any agenda decision that there might be diversity views or practice that is a general thing why we take it on.
Okay. Bob?
I'm supportive of the proposed revised approach, but I agree also with John's comment. I'd like to amend that sentence in the next to last paragraph of the proposed agenda decision.
Okay, that would be to make sure if if the board doesn't do something, we can bring it back. Is that what you're aiming to? Bob, I wasn't clear.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I heard you now. Okay, Andrew?
Yeah, I agree with the tentative agenda decision. I'd also suggest not closing the door with that sentence in the penultimate paragraph. I also felt maybe saying that a broad scope project is necessary was too strong, because the agenda consultation and the board might decide it's not necessary. So we could perhaps just soften that. And I could take this offline with some suggestions, but I thought subparagraph F wasn't necessarily quite consistent with what paragraph 28 of IFRS 5 actually says. It talks about amending prior period financial statements accordingly, which form of words gives rise to some questions of its own, whereas this talks about recording amounts retrospectively, which is like subtly different. So we could perhaps just align that wording with paragraph 28.
You can give that to us offline. I didn't think when I read this that there was any intention to foreclose. So if the, or upon the part of the board, if the board said, no, this doesn't make the cut, that doesn't certainly foreclose the committee from taking some of these issues back on. I'm seeing board members nodding in agreement to that. So, all right, that's what we'll do. Any comments from the observers before I close that off?
No, thanks.
Nothing, none appearing, okay. Okay.